Well, welcome one and all to podcast number 16. We haven't ventured very far for this particular recording.
No, we're psychologically and spiritually at Strangford Lock and Ring of Kerry. We're in Ireland today. We're not really, we're plumb in the middle of Kent.
Yes,
yeah. This is all about imagination.
And more than that, we're in my back garden, aren't we?
Well, we're perched on these two rather wonderful log seats and we're sitting here like two leprechauns, which is wonderful for the Irish theme.
Very appropriate, isn't it? Before we get to the music, let me just update everyone. We're now slowly but surely getting on the Anchor podcasting platform. In fact, we're on two platforms and getting links for people to subscribe, because eventually we would like you to shell out a couple of pounds for each podcast if you feel able to do so. That means that this venture is all the more sustainable and it'll fund some exotic travel to Snodland.
We could even be ambitious and have some live music, which
yes,
would be
we
lovely.
Could. In the middle of a forest somewhere. Yeah. All the money gets channeled back into what we're recording. So, Stuart, what are you going to entertain us with to start?
Well, we're on the island of Ireland, and we're being very even-handed in this programme because we've got composers from Northern Ireland and from ERA, and we've also got the RTE National Symphony Orchestra in Dublin and the BBC Broadcasting Ulster Orchestra in Belfast. So we're being completely even-handed. Mm-hmm. But we're thinking about the island of Ireland, and I wanted to begin with a composer who seems to me to be hardly known or played at all, even though in his day he had some fame and exposure. He's called Howard Ferguson, and he's a Belfast-born composer. Those who are interested in Second World War history may cast their minds back to the famous National Gallery concerts at the height of the war in London, where Dame Myra Hess would play Bach and Beethoven. Well, it was Howard Ferguson who instigated these concerts. He studied with Vaughan Williams, and we're going to play his piano concerto. Again, it's a work that is hardly ever performed, and I don't know why, because it's got a lovely 20th century classicism and lyricism to it. Think John Ireland, think Gerald Finzi. And the interesting thing is that Ferguson's work wasn't just a British music flash in the pan. It did actually have a performance by the New York Philharmonic, and it was actually written for the Festival of Britain in 1951. I don't think the work actually has a programme, but we can make associations when we hear the music. One can think of pastoral landscape, or just enjoy the music in its own right. It's finely crafted by Howard Ferguson, who, as I say, is chronically underrated and criminally neglected.
Right.
It's a rather lovely piece. It's string writing with piano, written in 1951. Thank you. That was Howard Ferguson's piano concerto, and a very lovely performance there by Mark Bebbington, who was played at the English Music Festival. We're coming now to the most famous, I think, of the Irish composers of the 20th century, Hamilton Harty. Harty was born at Hillsborough, and he was a very charismatic figure in music. He was talent-spotted by the great Hans Richter, who gave the first performance of Elgar's Enigma Variations. Sir Thomas Beecham also saw in Harty a great potential, and Harty became a very charismatic, flamboyant conductor, as well as a composer, so he combined the two careers. He was famous for elaborate, ultra-romantic scores, usually lasting 20 or 30 minutes. There's the Children of Lear, for example, which is based on the Irish legend of the swans who live for a long, long time on the lakes of Ireland. And also The Wild Geese, which was about Irish mercenaries who fought with the French.
Was a film, wasn't it? With Richard Harris?
Yeah, there was a film about an incursion into Africa.
Yes.
But these mercenaries, though, of Hamilton Harty's, they were 18th century French mercenaries. The work is quite well known. It was recorded by the great Sir Alexander Gibson with the Scottish National Orchestra. We've got a recording of Harty's Irish Symphony. It's a marvellous piece, actually. Sir Arthur Sullivan of Gilbert and Sullivan fame, he too wrote an Irish symphony. I think Harty's has a stormier, clouded hills feel to it. I wanted to pick up on the symphony in its second movement, which is a typical Irish jollification. You can imagine the whiskey flowing and people jigging along a country lane. It's a fantastic, rumbustious piece. The movement lasts for about 6 or 7 minutes. It carries you away, and it's a tribute to Hamilton Harty's bravura writing and brilliant scene painting. You really do feel that you're in that romantic idea of Ireland. I think that the recording here is beautifully played.
When I went to Dublin, I noticed that every pub had a live musician, and there was dancing, and I thought, this is a cliché, but it's happening in front of me.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because the writer, Peter Quinn, who provides the programme notes for the Hamilton Harty Irish Symphony, makes the observation that Ireland's preeminence in music is really song and dance and traditional music, the music of the harpist or the bard or the folk musician, rather than symphonies. Hamilton Harty seems to have brought the two together in this piece.
Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
Well, Hamilton and Hartey's Irish Symphony.
We're with Sir Charles Villiers Stanford of Dublin, no less. Great imperial figure, half British, half Irish. He wrote a processional piece along the lines of Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, a welcome march for the visit of Edward VII to Ireland, a state visit. Hartey had one foot in the British camp, one in the Irish.
Probably appropriate at that time, wasn't it?
It shows you just how, in those days, there was a strong Anglo element in Dublin. Stanford was very Irish as well. I wanted to tell everybody about the idylls that he wrote, which were entitled Fairy Day. Stanford picks up on that subliminal world which is always present in Celtic culture. I mean, there was an obsession in Victorian times about fairies and about the little people. In Wales, they're called the Tylwyth Teth.
Right.
I don't know what they're actually called in Ireland. We know them as leprechauns. The Fairy Day is a rare work. It was written in 1912. Again, it's another piece of British pastoral romanticism. Stanford actually set Henry Newbolt's very salty Songs of the Sea with such songs as Drake's Drum. But here, Stanford is going into the world of the morning cobwebs and morning dew, and we're in a supernatural setting and the unseen forces and folk who people the Irish imagination.
So as we perch on these pretend toadstools,
yes,
it's very appropriate,
isn't it?
It
is indeed. Lovely piece.
Let's go into the mystery.
Fairy Day.
Well, that was magical.
Yes.
It's very appropriate. Now, we're going to go back to Hartey.
Yes, we're going to go back to Hamilton Hartey, to a work that he first wrote in 1918. It was originally written for flute and piano, but here we hear it played by an orchestra. It's described as a rhapsodic fantasy, and it's called In Ireland. When I first heard it, I had the complete impression that I was out in the hills somewhere, dreaming by some Irish loch, or walking along past an ancient peat bog where there'd be Stone Age remains. I was amazed to find out that it depicts a Dublin street at dusk.
I remember those.
With two wandering street musicians playing. I can see that that could also be a scene that you could put into In Ireland. But for me, I always thought it was very much a countryside work.
I must tell you, I wandered a Dublin street dusk. I did, and I came across the James Joyce Museum. Upstairs there is a complete replica of his writing room, which was his bedroom, which was everything. It was very modest quarters. His disciplined approach to writing. He loved music as well. So he wrote to music, and some of his experimental writing, like in Finnegan's Wake, compared to a musical score. He said, I've moved beyond words. And if you tried to ever read that novel, you'll know he moved well beyond
yes. words. Yes. I don't actually know of any piece that was inspired by James Joyce. I think we need to do a literary edition of our podcast.
That would be surprising, though. There wasn't a piece inspired by...
Yes, I can't think of one offhand. I don't know whether there's a composer in the Republic of Ireland, old and venerable figure called Saoirse Bodley, who wrote a symphony called I've Loved the Lands of Ireland. Conceivably, he could have written something on the theme of Joyce. I'd have to research that.
Mm.
He was of that period. He was a contemporary. And I'd love to have some Saoirse Bodley in this concert today, but I can't find a recording, so we'll have to stick with Hamilton Harty's In Ireland.
So we're going to play out with more Hamilton Harty.
Yeah, it's the rhapsodic fantasy written in 1918, subsequently reorchestrated, and it's called In Ireland.
Thank you for listening. We'll leave you in Ireland